Hey Mike, how are you?
Lulu, been a while.
Romano, we'll give it a couple of more minutes, right, till we get to the top of the hour, and then Dr. Leck is on, so we do have quorum.
I do see that. Good afternoon, Dr. Leck.
Hello, Mr. Romano, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. And yourself?
I am very good, thank you. Cannot complain.
I'm always super impressed with your whiteboards back there of how you can you have so much going on, so
So
much.
very much. So very much going on, yes. That's why I have
I've always been somewhat afraid of what she has back there because I don't know what it is. It's certainly a formula to change the world, but I'm not sure.
Most of us only need one. She needs two, and they're completely filled.
Yeah, I wish I had a third actually.
Yeah. You don't on the other side of the office, or?
No, I don't. I have a like a conference center kind of thing.
Yes.
A TV over there so I could do virtuals, but I that the other one is that's my scribble one. That's usually where I'm drawing something that I'm asking people to make or do.
Very
This
good.
is keeping track of everybody's stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot to keep track of. That's
Yes,
for
there
sure.
are. How many sticky notes do you have on your desk?
Yeah, all around and all of that. That's why I use this fake background to protect everyone else from the insanity that is exists.
There you
It's
go.
okay. It's all
That's probably
right.
a better idea. I don't
Yeah.
even try and hide it.
I
It is what it is.
have very nice backgrounds now, so
There you go. Yeah.
okay.
They've evolved over COVID.
Do it just another minute here, and then we'll jump into it. It's not quite yet 1 o'clock.
And Mr. Romano and Dr. Leck, I would like to introduce two people before we get started.
By all means, please.
We have two new individuals joining us from the Attorney General's office, and they will be assisting us as we move forward, not only with this meeting, but in future meetings to come. So I'll introduce them then, maybe if they just want to say hello for a moment. So the two new individuals are Janine Galvin and Deborah Abbey. So, Janine, if you want to say hello.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jane Galvin. I'm an attorney in the licensing enforcement section of the Attorney General's office. I will be representing you going forward along with my co-counsel, Deborah Abbey. I'm not new to the Arizona Board for Private Post-Secondary Education. I represented the board for quite a few number of years. So I know Keith, the executive director during my time was Ms. Stanfill, but I look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you very much, Ms.
Your
Gallo.
first name is my middle name, FYI.
Okay, very nice.
Right.
Very exciting.
And Ms. Abby, would you like to say anything?
I'm sure. Can you hear me? I'm using a new
We
microphone.
can, you're just very light.
Is this any better?
It is, it's much better.
Okay. Well, I am also going to be co-counsel with the board for the private post-secondary with Jean. And I came recently to licensing enforcement from child protection world. So that's sort of my background. And I don't know, frequently there's another Abby in the room. Do I get a hit like Jean did? Oh, well.
The only one.
I'm out of middle names. Sorry.
Yes.
No more middle names for me.
We'll see how it progresses, though. All right. Well, welcome, and we appreciate you participating today. So with that, it is 1:01 p.m., and I will call to order the Arizona State Board for Private Post-Secondary Education Complaint Committee on September 28, 2023. The complaint committee may go into executive session for the purposes of obtaining legal advice pursuant to ARS 38-431.0383 on any matter on the agenda. The committee reserves the right to change the order of the agenda items with the exception of hearings. With that, are there any changes today to the agenda, Mr. LaMountain?
Mr. Romano, there are no changes.
All right. Would you be so kind as to take roll?
Mr. Romano.
Here.
Dr. Leck.
Here.
Ms. Galvin?
Present.
Ms. Abby?
Present.
Ms. Rome?
Present.
And Mr. Blanchard?
Present.
And I'm Kevin Lamont, and I'm present.
Wonderful. All right, we'll move on to item number two, which is regarding the complaint committee meeting minutes. So, Mr. Lamont, can you confirm the audio minutes from way back December 8, 2022? Complaint committee have been posted and are audible.
I can confirm that they are.
Very good. Any discussion by the board? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion.
And I will second that. Mr. Lamont, right. Would you take the roll call?
We do. We have a motion and a second. Mr. Romano.
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck.
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Vote of two ayes, no nays. That motion passes.
All right. Very good. Now that we've moved through the pop and circumstance, we will move on to item number three, which is review, discussion, and possible actions and complaints. The first complaint that we have is in regards to Tucson Dental Assistant School. Mr. Blanchard, would you like to give a brief recap and any additional new information?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the complaint committee. Complaint 2023 PPE0002 was initially received from a concerned parent down in Tucson in reference to recruitment practices and requiring the possible students to have to pay prior to being able to visit the school or to speak with instructors about the program. The second one is in reference to, and the staff is still confused regarding the corporate structure, the parent company, the controlling party, the timeline of when it changed. In the investigative report is all the information that we were able to compile as a staff with the questions regarding, one, are we missing supplemental applications for name changes, who has control, and hopefully the school will be able to clarify that. And just so you know, in reference to the initial complaint, we interviewed some of the students. There are no student complaints. The cohort that's at the school right now, I think they graduate here in a couple of weeks. There's no concern. There was no issue with how they were recruited. And the explanation of how or why they require, how they do their site visits is in the report and is in the institutional response.
Very good. Thank you. Do we have anyone representing the school today?
Hi. Yes. Good afternoon. My name is Jessica Ford. I am the Director of Compliance.
Good afternoon, Ms. Ford. Thank you for joining us. Would you like to comment, recognizing that the fellow board members have had a chance to review the materials that you've provided, so we don't feel obligated to have to restate all of that, but if there's any new information that you'd like to bring forward or any points of clarity that you'd like to provide before we go into asking a few questions, that would be great.
No additional information regarding the student complaint. I do also on the call, I have our head of our finance team and then also our head of student operations to be able to answer any further questions you have regarding our structure and or our finances, as Keith mentioned.
Okay, thank you for that. I've had the chance to review the materials and I don't really have any questions in regards to kind of some of the questions of operations of having students maybe have to make some type of payment before visiting and just kind of working through some of the timing of the operations. It seemed like the response cleared that up. And from Mr. Blanchard's comments, there didn't seem to be any further concerns from that standpoint. I think the one outstanding piece really does come down to, is there some type of change of ownership that needs to be considered here and what that looks like? But before I progress to the ownership question, Dr. Leck, do you have any questions in regards to the student complaints that you would like to get clarity on?
I do not. I read through the materials and I think it was a misunderstanding.
Okay. Very good. Perfect. Well, Ms. Ford, when I reviewed the materials and the response that was provided, here's what I think I understand, and you can provide clarity to me if I'm misinterpreting. So it seems as though Vandalay was the name of the ownership company when the school was originally licensed, and then it went through a name change of Zoledge Management Inc. I may be mispronouncing that, but hopefully pretty close with that piece of it. So it just went through a name change on that side of it. And I believe the school's position is, hey, the management ownership solely owned by Vandalay has always been the owner. We just went through a name change and therefore it doesn't necessitate any type of change of ownership. But you also disclosed that Vandalay was the controlling interest, if not 100% of the interest, was sold by that of Thomas Ince. Again, I may be mispronouncing that, in 2021 to a new group of owners that essentially are the controlling interest of Vandalay or Zoledge Management Inc. Is that a fair restatement of what has occurred?
It's very, very close. So I'll kick it off, just get it started just a little bit, and then I'll actually pass it over to Mr. Tim Heyer, who is our head of our finance team, to clarify the details just a little bit more. But yes, some of the details that you stated are correct. Vandalay Education is the owner of all of our schools, and where the name change occurred was actually the parent company of Vandalay Education. So Vandalay Education has always been Vandalay Education. There's been no ownership change, no name change on the Vandalay level. The name change that occurred was the next level up. So the parent company of Vandalay Education, no ownership change happened at that level either. It was strictly a name change from 15-5 to Zoledge Management. So that's to clarify that piece a little. And then for your second question, I will pass that to Mr. Tim Heyer. I believe he should be on the call with us as well.
Yes, I am here. Thanks, Jessica. Thank you, committee members. So what has, I'm going to reiterate a little bit of what Jessica just said. When we set up operations in Arizona and servicing Arizona students, it was set up under Vandalay, and I'm sure some of you are thinking, Vandalay, is that, have I heard that from Seinfeld? Yes, our owner had a sense of humor. And it was set up, the schools were set up under the operations and ownership of Vandalay Education, LLC. And at that time, Vandalay Education, LLC was owned by a C Corp, 15-5. 15-5 changed its name, subsequently to Zoledge Management, but the EIN did not change. It was only a name change. It remained a C Corp, and the name changed, and it has retained ownership of Vandalay the whole time. So again, to reiterate what Jessica said, Vandalay has always owned and operated the schools in Arizona. Zoledge Management has always owned Vandalay. It just prior was under the name of 15-5. And then as far as the investors in 15-5 and subsequently becoming Zoledge Management, that has changed. With the C Corp, that's how it's set up so that investors can change.
And so just to appreciate that, I believe Thomas Ince was 100% owner of Vandalay Education and did sell 100% of that interest in 2021. Is that correct?
That is not correct. He still has interest in the company and is a board member.
Okay. Is he the controlling interest of the parties, 51% or greater, I guess? Or can you disclose that if he is the majority shareholder or minority shareholder at that point?
It is a privately held. I would have to consult with our counsel on that one, since it is privately held and with the C Corp set up, consult with the counsel on that one. But it is public out there as far as Sarent Capital does have Zollege Management listed on their website.
Okay. All right. I know, Mr. Lamont, you're probably going to clarify a couple points of regards to any type of change of interest of that nature. So by all means, please.
Mr. Romano and Dr. Legg, thank you. You do have to disclose the percentage of ownership, because what we're dealing with here, and I can refer it out to the Attorney General, but you do have to disclose that, like, now, because that's the biggest issue that we have, is who owns this thing. So we were not necessarily aware of the top level ownership with the 15-5 and the change to Zollege, which you have to report. And then now at the Vandalay level, because you would be in violation of statute if you did not file a change of ownership when Mr. Entz went from 100% owner to, and if he is anything less than 50%, that would be a violation of statute. So if you could please disclose to this group, is he 50% or more or less than 50%?
He is less than 50%. Okay. Would you mind also providing me the statute that?
Absolutely. We provided it in the past, but we will provide it again. That would constitute a change of ownership in our rules and our statutes.
Okay.
So if that happened in 2021, you were now in 2023. We've gone 2 years of a change of ownership, which is far beyond the statute allows you in this case. So currently, the way staff sees it, certainly would relate this to the board, is that you're in violation of rule
statute. Okay. And apologies, I do want to be very clear. I'm not trying to come off adversarial. I do want to just, the statute that I had read was on page 10 of the code. It was number 5, and talked about the LLC, and there was no change of ownership of the LLC. The membership of the LLC stayed exactly the same.
So I'm sure we can probably, and just respectfully, I can reference R4-39-110 for that change of ownership of control. But I do think, obviously, and respectfully, Mr. Heyer, what we're trying to get after is, and this has been something that is a concern and why we go through the disclosures of who owns or who is a managing controlling party of that, because there are limitations to who can participate in based on possibly past educational institutions of ownership, how those have ended, and so on and so forth. So it's not, I don't think there's, well, I don't want to overstate. That is why we have these types of processes in place, to just go ahead and validate, dot the I's, cross the T's. And it seems like that this is an oversight or needs additional clarity. Regardless, it's not one that this committee at this point would take action on based on it being open. The reality is my motion would actually be to refer this to the main board for the next meeting, which will allow time for the institution and the board staff or the staff to be able to work through the details of that. And if something needs to be updated or adjusted appropriately, it can be reviewed by the entire board as a whole. So that would be my motion. I know I have a motion on the floor on that one. I do know, Ms. Ford, you had raised your hand, so respectfully, I will just pause here for a moment to see if you had any additional clarity you wanted to provide or a question of clarity.
Yes, thank you. I guess I should probably direct this to Mr. Lamont. Would, with that statute, does that include, so the change occurred, you know, the owner of the owner, so not Vandalay's parent company. How far, you know, how far up does that go, essentially? I mean,
Mr. Romano and Ms. Ford, the challenge that we have with what we're talking about right now is the lack of information that we have to the upper level, right? So as far as we've known, or as long as you've been licensed, is Vandalay was the top. And in that, then a change of ownership happened at the Vandalay level, because you've just disclosed that the owner who at one time had 100% does not have that anymore. So we're really still unclear as to who the players are, who the people are, what the changes are at the Zollege level, which used to be 15-5. Now it's Zollege. Again, these are new names that we were not aware of in the past. Now the Vandalay, there was a change there, so that changed. So really, the gray area here is everything in the ownership structure. And that is what we have been trying to, you know, and you guys, and thankfully, you know, I don't want to come off negative. You guys have been providing information as we find out more and more information and have more and more questions. So we're very thankful for that. But we're still very, very clouded as to who owns what changes at what level. And those are things that we're going to need to clear up between today's meeting, and assuming this moves forward with Mr. Romano's motion to move to the board, that we would be working on that between now and the October board meeting to clarify as much of that as possible, so that we are all aligned with who owns what.
Yes. Okay. That makes complete sense. And we will definitely, we'll be happy to work with you guys to get some clarity there. Cause I think I'm still a little cloudy on it as well. Just trying to understand, you know, where it all applies. And I think, like Tim can elaborate more if he has any other points, but thank you for that. I just wanted to kind of understand at what level does that apply?
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Blanchard, would you like to provide any additional color?
Yeah, just a question. So in 2024, Zollege would have been the actual parent company. Would that be accurate?
I think you mean 2014.
I'm sorry, 2014. So 2014, Zollege would have been the parent company that maybe, and then Vandalay Education was part of that structure?
Yeah, to answer your Mr. Blanchard, to answer your question, yes. My understanding is that when the school was set up, it was Vandalay Education, and which I think you all have confirmed that that's what you have. Right. And it was owned by, at the time, it was called 15-5. And I believe that you all have some record of 15-5. I don't know what your record is of 15-5, that which is part of what we're trying to clear up here as well.
Okay.
And 15-5 changed its name. I believe it was in 2018, but I can confirm that, but changed its name from 15-5 to Zollege Management, but the EIN never changed. It was the same C Corp the whole time.
Okay. Okay. So I think we were under the impression of the board was in 2014 was that Vandalay was the top of the food chain in reference to the corporate structure. And there wasn't anything above that.
Mm-hmm. Right, and we've reviewed as many materials as we have that go back that far, and that is the board's determination is that that's who that was. So I think certainly we can work through this to really define who, what, where, when that this the ownership piece has changed. So, and I know Ms. Rome had a comment as well.
I was going to say the same thing. So when we go back as far as the 2014 approval by the board, I have it sitting right in front of me, the board report, and the top entity, the corporate entity, is listed as Vandalay Education. There's no mention of 15-5 at all. So the disconnect, I think, is when did that happen? And if it happened prior to the school originally being licensed, we should have been apprised of that being the parent company, versus Vandalay being the parent company.
It makes sense now.
So it would sound as though there's some opportunity to clean this up and then bring that forward to the full board just for review. Again, we understand and we work with other schools as things evolve and new players come in, right? You may have all been part of the school during that 2014 era, or you may be relatively new with the organization. So we understand these things can occur. We just ask that you continue your partnership with the staff to see if we can resolve the matter, and then we'll close it out at the upcoming board meeting. So again, my motion is to defer this to the main board meeting in October for review of a change of ownership and assurance that the appropriate documentation has been provided to close this matter. Dr. Leck, would you second? Very good.
Great. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. So vote of two ayes, no nays. That motion passes. And Ms. Ford and Mr. Heyer, we will provide some additional documentation and information as we prepare for the October board meeting.
We appreciate your time today. So thank you for coming out. And I'm confident that working with the staff, we'll be able to review this and hopefully move forward and close it out at the upcoming October meeting. So thank you very much for your time today.
Wonderful.
Yes, and thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, committee members, as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we will move on to our second complaint for review today, which is very similar to our third complaint that we'll be reviewing. So we'll see how this one goes. So this is in regards to American Institute of Dental Assisting. Mr. Blanchard, would you like to give us a brief recap and any new information that you feel is pertinent?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the complaint committee, and I will. A lot of the allegations and the information are the same, even though the documentation is different in each complaint. But we received a complaint in reference to how Google ads were popping up, that the allegations were AIDA information was part of Desert Dental, where if you put in the name Desert Dental in the search bar under Google, it showed that it was information came regarding either a phone number or a click on to take you to AIDA. It was basically the whole premise. We went through all the screenshots that were sent. We contacted and spoke with the school on a number of occasions in reference to, one, just understanding how this may or may not happen. What transpires. I was talking to Mr. LaMountain, and I kind of Googled Google to get information to see how some of this stuff worked. I did interview somebody who's a software engineer and got some information that's in the report, but I have to admit I'm kind of baffled just because I don't know how contracts with Google specifically works. So I think with what's in the report, what was submitted by the complainant and, of course, the institution and that background can probably clarify. I know for Desert Dental, Kiera Ortega, and then for the institution, Michael Rain, who's an attorney representing them, and then Brian Hastings and Laura Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Blanchard. And I think you said Ms. Ortega was able to join us today from the institution. Am I keeping that straight?
Yes, I'm here.
Very good. And you're coming up right now, Kiera Martinez. I just want to verify that is you, Ms. Ortega?
Yes, that is me. Martinez is my maiden name, and I'm on my Google, my personal Gmail, and sure. I haven't changed it yet.
No problem whatsoever. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't misreading or anything of that nature. And then is Mr. Rain also in attendance?
Yes, sir. Michael Rain is present, as well as Mr. Brian Hastings and Dr. Elton Hastings from AIDA.
Okay. And just to confirm, who is representing the American Institute of Dental Assisting?
Sir, that is me, Michael Rain, the law firm of Bozen and Snow.
Okay. All right. Then I will direct my questions towards you in this case, and we'll go from there. Prior to starting, and again, please don't feel like you need to recap this, and I know we'll have a similar one right after it, but is there any additional information you'd like to provide? I believe, and I will just state as well, I have had a chance to review the letter that you provided to the board last night or yesterday that I received last night. So, you know, any additional information that you'd like to provide that you feel is relevant?
Yes, thank you for the opportunity to speak. I don't want to recap everything we said, but maybe just stress one key theme, which is that this complaint is really a competitor-to-competitor complaint. It does not raise any issues pertaining to the board's mission of protecting the students in these institutions that you license. There are no student complaints. This is really a commercial dispute that we believe is attempting to use the board and its process as a sword. We think that the response was pretty thorough, that this Google advertising, it did reflect the name of this institution, but that AIDA was not responsible directly for that. It was a function of, you know, the artificial intelligence and the way Google Ads work. And that AIDA promptly addressed it with Google, disabling certain functions that are otherwise very useful to them, just to be sure this didn't occur any further. And we think that, you know, the problem is essentially remediated, but that it was not one that really falls under this board's mission. So we'd ask you to dismiss this case as outside of the scope of what you're really out supposed to be protecting. And of course, we're here for any questions, as are Dr. Hastings and Mr. Hastings. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rain. I would like to first start by saying I probably couldn't disagree with you anymore than 100% of what you just said. We do have a responsibility to the consumer from marketing materials, and that, so this absolutely does fall under our consideration for review. I understand that it can be viewed as, because a competitive school brought the concern forward, that it may seem like two schools are going at it, but with the materials that were provided, there is reason to take pause in how a title of a name of a school is immediately under that of a web address for, in this case, the Dental Assisting Institute. And so or the American Institute of Dental Assisting. And so I do have some points of clarity. I understand that the school is using Google and sponsored ads and a third party, but you will see in the statutes that the school is ultimately responsible for any marketing materials that they put out on the website, that they take action upon, and how that is displayed to a consumer. In this case, a student who might be interested in one school, thinking they're reaching out to that school, only to find out later down the road that they've actually reached out to the competitor because of how keywords were represented out in the public forum. Now, I realize there's a fine edge to all of that, but I do have some questions of clarity that I'd like to try and understand, and it's possible my colleague, Dr. Leck, will also have some questions. So if I could start in, some of the materials that were provided were some back and forth commentary that was taking place between Mr. Hastings and a Mr. Rozinski. I may be mispronouncing that. I just wanted to confirm it appeared to me that it was intended to look as though Mr. Rozinski was a Google employee, and maybe he is, and I just wanted to validate that, because in his signature, it says former Google employee. And so I wanted to confirm, if you could, is that correspondence between Mr. Hastings and Mr. Rozinski, is Mr. Rozinski a Google employee, or Is he an employee of the school or a third-party marketing company for the school?
Mr. Romano, just to clarify, Mr. Rosinski does not, my understanding, work for Google. There were actually two email strings that were provided, one with Mr. Rosinski, who operates an independent business. I wasn't aware until you mentioned it that he might have worked at Google before, but a second email string that was with Google itself. So there's actually two different correspondences.
And I will come around that one as well, because there were certainly some pieces there that I'd like to try and understand as well that you may or may not be able to answer from that standpoint. But thank you for the clarification that Mr. Rosinski is not a Google employee. Can you clarify what Mr. Rosinski, what purpose he does serve for the school? Does he work for the school, or is he a third party consultant or marketing company for them?
It's the latter, Mr. Romano. He's a contracted, marketing, online marketing specialist, to put it one way. If Brian, if you think I have any of that wrong, you're welcome to jump in. But yeah, just a third party who assists the school with its online marketing efforts. In some ways, I believe, a bit of a middleman, or is not completely disconnected from Google's tools and services, but facilitates AIDA's use of those tools.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Hastings or Mr. Rain, can you confirm, is Mr. Rosinski the individual who would have filled out the necessary paperwork or requests with Google to submit the sponsored ads that are part of the exhibits that have been provided?
Brian, please, you can answer that.
I'm not sure. I would have to research that. If I understand the question correctly, you're asking if he was the one that filled out the paperwork or the process of those ads. I'm not sure I quite understand the question.
Yeah, did he submit the paperwork for the ads, or did you or the institution submit that paperwork?
I did not submit the paperwork. Right. As Mr. Rain was saying, Rosinski is a contractor in working with the ads and the Google Ads process that we have. But no, not I or the school submitted those.
Mr. Hastings, can you walk me through your process of when you are putting advertising and marketing materials out to the consumers, what that process overview is?
Sure, absolutely. I look for qualified individuals in their own market or industry. Prior to working with any type of business or individual, I do vet out their history or experience in that individual industry, hoping that their credentials or their background supports what their services are, and so through that, identifying Mr. Rosinski as currently not in a Google employee, but has a lot of experience with Google in that process, I felt that he was very qualified for that position or for helping us in that matter.
And can you walk me through the school's review of third-party contracted services prior to that marketing or advertising going out?
As far as reviewing?
Yes.
In marketing, the companies, if we instigate or work with the company, we have review periods, typically once a month, I would say, in regards to the process. I don't know as far as the exact process. As you can see, we do have correspondence back and forth. But as far as answering that exact process, it is more of a correspondence and monitoring because of the account.
Mr. Hastings, can you provide to me your understanding of the school's obligation in all marketing and advertising materials that are put out into the marketplace?
Understanding that the school's responsibility?
Correct.
Yeah. I would understand that the marketing material that we are putting out is truthful, that what we are stating as a school of our programs, the material of the programs that our students, the education that they're going to get is accurate and truthful. Understanding that process of that marketing material of what our students are going to be receiving.
Is it plausible to believe that with a Mr. Rosinski or any other party that you may use, they may put materials out into the marketplace, advertising and that the school has not completely reviewed?
No, I don't feel so, because of the nature of this situation, where that is a tool that is Google uses and is dictated based off of what that user is searching. As you see in the brief that we had sent, or the analysis of that is the point of that tool to further reach those. And so, you know, I would say at that point, I do review the marketing materials, but.
Okay. All right. That's helpful.
I'm sorry, Mr. Romano, if I may jump in. I just a point of clarification in case it hasn't been clear, but no human, to my knowledge, created any of these ads that have been presented. It is a function of Google's platform where it has inserted the name of a competitor because it appears to Google as a keyword or a key term. And so it generated this. It couldn't have been reviewed in advance because it happened automatically by Google's algorithms and Google's tools. But as it was brought to AIDA's attention, that's the nature of the communication we shared with the board is back in April. They hear this is happening. They reach out to Google and they fix it. And then it comes up again in September with the board, and they again follow up with Google and with Mr. Rosinski to say, hey, this is happening or has happened. We need to understand how it happened. And of course, by then, I believe it had already stopped. But I just want to make that point of clarification that it wasn't something they could have reviewed or dictated.
Yeah, so let's see if we can peel that back for a moment. So if we refer to your response that you sent last night, or that I received last night, I'm not sure, it looks like it was maybe provided maybe before that, but regardless, if you refer to page 13 on that response, which is a continuation of Mr. Lee's, who is from Google's response, he does say, and this is his language, looking at the auto apply recommendations that we had enabled previously, none of them would add new keywords into the account. The keyword-based recommendations we select would, one, add broad match versions of your existing keywords, and two, remove keywords that are not serving or deal with conflicting negative keywords. So for point of clarity, Mr. Hastings, can you tell me, did you or Mr. Rosinski provide keywords of the other schools to Google?
Further clarification, no, we did not. In the keyword insertion tool, that uses what a user will search. It can then place that into the ad. If it is a term, it doesn't necessarily have to use the entire search term, but it can use some of that search term and place it in the ad to try to make that more relevant. That's that purpose. So as we said, as tried to illustrate in that response, that the search term can be some of the search term or all of it. It doesn't necessarily have to be all of it. It can be some of those keywords, and it does not necessarily have to be a keyword that is targeted in the account.
I appreciate your interpretation. I'm just referring to Google's response that does clearly state that none of them, this is their words, none of them would add new keywords into the account. So I'm trying to get clarity. We probably won't today, but I'm just clarifying, at least from what Mr. Lee of Google provided, that that may not be an accurate representation to say that that Google is the one who is generating the actual language of the schools that make it look like when they click on the link above that it's a different school. I mean, we all obviously agree with that, that we're not comfortable. Nobody seems to be comfortable with how the advertising is representative or represented on Google. The question is, what did the school, in this case, American Institute of Dental Assisting, provide to Google to create a situation where suddenly the name of competitive schools, when they're typed in exactly, appear under the American Institute of Dental Assisting in a way that make it look like when you click on the link, you are connecting with the school they actually searched versus your school. And I believe what I'm hearing is your position on this is that no one from the institution or third party provided the competitive schools information, school titles like that of Desert Dental and Health Academy, or that of, I believe it's Altren, and I apologize if I've mispronounced that, that in this case, the American Institute of Dental Assisting did not provide any language to Google that would result in those two schools or any other schools of similar nature coming up in the advertising. Is that your position?
Yes, we did not place those keywords in our account. That is my position completely. Okay.
All right. So all of this is a result of Google's algorithms and AI generation that ultimately resulted in when the competitive school was typed into the search bar, this is your position, that although your name came up as a sponsored school with the links and your URL account, and directly under it used the title of the competitive school, you had no direction in that, no guidance, and no involvement, I guess.
That is correct.
Okay.
And Mr. Romano, Michael Rain again, I think it's important to note that AIDA did play a direct role in this process by directing Rosinski and Google to remove those. I mean, they have, corrected the matter once it became aware, and they are able, to my understanding, to either turn off the function entirely or to modify and omit certain words, make sure they do not show up.
And how did you become aware that this was occurring?
Keith Blanchard reached out to me, and I also received a complaint from the Better Business Bureau in regards to this. So that's how I first became aware of it, was a complaint through the Better Business Bureau by Altering.
Okay. And then maybe could you take me through, you had mentioned that you do review marketing materials. Do you have any post-review? Do you ever go on Google and type in your school's name or competitive school's names that allow you to evaluate your sponsored ad? Is there any type of review process in there that would allow you to review the advertising you are paying for, recognizing some other entity may be generating that for you?
I do have a review process. It's not, apologize, I don't have that, laid out in front of me, but it is something that I do try to monitor as far as, the process of our ads. Do I search other programs? Not very often, no. Does that mean that other programs don't search us or search themselves? No, I can't speak to that. But In regards to answering your question, that's not something as far as searching other programs that I do very often. No.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. And then can you, I know it was referred to, and I apologize, I don't believe I have it marked down. There seemed to be some change that you initiated or that Mr. Rosinski initiated, but I can't recall the timing that maybe created this situation of where Google was starting to generate its own advertisements for your company.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you a little bit of background. Google reached out to us, and some of those emails were included in the email chain to work with us with our account. Through that, they had directed and activated auto generation features. Through those auto generation features, keywords are auto generated as well, and various features. And so that's a little bit of a timeline or background. That was, I think, back in April of this year. Or March, I'm not sure, I'd have to go back and check.
Okay, no, thank you. I'm not sure the timing of some of these, they weren't necessarily date stamped of the examples that we received, but it really is alarming at this point from just the perspective of two different schools being typed into the search bar, and then ultimately your school coming up as a sponsored ad, but again, very much looking like under the exact title of the institution being there. I realize I'm not an expert in these areas, and I understand Ms. Martinez or Ms. Ortega, I apologize. Right now we're just working with the school. This isn't an open forum of discussion yet. I will come around to you though, because you did lodge the complaint to get some clarity, but please be patient with us on that piece. I'm still just trying to kind of get my arms wrapped around the fact of how these ads are being generated, the numbers of examples, the pictures, and all of those things. And the unfortunate side that Mr. Hastings, you're saying the way you learned of this was by being brought to you by the Better Business Bureau and by Mr. LaMountain or Mr. Blanchard of the board versus catching this through your own review processes. That's not intended to be judgmental. It's just stating what you have stated, which is, you learned of this through those parties, not necessarily through your own internal processes.
And to further reiterate, I don't search other competitors very often, so that would be correct.
Yeah. And okay. I'm probably haven't exhausted my questions yet, but I will take a moment, Dr. Leck. I know I've kind of. Would you have any questions?
I'm probably just a little bit more direct. I think the whole question is did you guys attempt to divert traffic on Google from your competitors to yourselves by using keywords that would generally go to the other school?
No, absolutely not.
Do you have the ability to ensure that those things don't happen in the future?
As Mr. Rain had said, you know, that's something that we have addressed, and we fixed as far as making sure the auto insertion feature is not utilized with competitors.
I'm done, Mr. Romano.
All right, I'm going to just review very quickly here, see if there's anything else that I'd like to try and get my arms around. Mr. LaMountain.
Mr. Romano, just a quick question for the school. Do you have the contract that you signed with, which would eventually be Google? And in that contract, would there be, you know, I can't imagine they just would throw out there that you're a dental school, so we'll just find some keywords and throw it out there for you, that there had to be some direction. Is there a contract that you have with Google?
A contract, it's a service we signed up for, yes, to utilize their platform, yes.
And in that contract, is there identified keywords that you purchased, because you have to purchase words, right, in Google advertising, you have to purchase words. In that contract or any place in there, did you, or is there a descriptor of what words you've purchased
to identify? I want to try to further clarify the keyword insertion tool. To have those search terms show up, you do not have to purchase those keywords. Okay. It's something that somebody searches. Google then uses what they search and puts that into an ad that Google deems relevant. So in response to answering, if we've purchased certain keywords, that does not apply to the keyword insertion, because that can be something, or a search term insertion, that can be something that somebody is searching that not necessarily is targeted.
But in your initial contract, you had to provide them, because you're not a oil changing company, you know, go out and change oil in cars, correct? So you had to at least give them a focus and a direction for the type of searches that people would be looking for in order to find your particular school, right? So you're a school, that's a keyword type.
Correct.
You're a school that specializes in dental assisting programs. So that's the second piece to that. And then are there other, so there's at least two things that I can think of right there that you would have had to direct Google to say that is the direction. And then another one is that it's in Arizona. And another one is that, you know, I mean, just off the top of my head, I could probably think of 40 or 50 different keywords that you would want Google to focus on. So I guess my question goes back to, in the contract that you sign, you had to provide them some type of direction. Do you have that contract that you could provide to us to show what direction that you gave to them?
I mean, I could look into, as far as a contract or how they would be able to provide it to me. We do have, you know, contract with Google, or that process, as far as it written on a piece of, you know, paper, that's something I'd have to inquire with Google how that would be able to be provided.
Okay.
Brian, if I could jump in, I just want to help facilitate. Was there any moment in your interactions with Mr. Rosinski or Google where you were asked, what are some keywords that we should use in our advertising online in any way? I mean, did you ever provide any list of keywords to anybody?
Yes. You know, obviously we want to talk about dental assisting schools or those that are interested in dental assisting along those lines, right? The industry of dental.
Yeah, so I guess where I'd also come, Mr. Hastings, is with the clear understanding that you're also responsible for any actions Mr. Rosinski would take as well in regards to providing content or direction to Google. And I'm not sure that that's totally understood here as well. Although you may not have provided those keywords, it's possible. I'm not saying it's fact. It's just possible that Mr. Rosinski did provide those types of keywords or schools, like, if these schools are searched, please bring our name up in a sponsored ad. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying, from what you've described with your relationship with Mr. Rosinski, he may have had that ability to take that action without your knowledge, but you're still responsible for it as the institution, and that being a third party marketer for you. I'm not, again, not saying that's the case. Just want to clarify that unless you feel confident that Mr. Rosinski would not have provided those keywords, and maybe you do. So I'll ask you that question. Do you feel confident that Mr. Rosinski did not provide those keywords to Google in the setup of the sponsored ads?
I do. Again, you know, it's a company that I had reached out to run the campaign, hope they were, you know, qualified to do so. So yes, they did run the campaign. I understand what the board is saying as far as me overseeing that. I do understand that. I feel confident that's not what happened, but you know, I can look into that.
Mr. LaMountain, and I apologize, because normally if we'd be in the setting together, we could bring these things up. Do you have the capability to bring up an example of the screenshot of the sponsored advertisement from Dental Assisting School AZ?
Let me see what I can do. So this would be under, this is complaint 3, right? Yes.
It is. And it would be page.
Do you want screenshots?
I just wanted one of the screenshots. Yeah. Page 1 of, yeah, there you go. Thank you. That's perfect. I just felt like this might help us all kind of level set there. I realize this is a screenshot capture. We can clearly see in the search bar, Desert Dental and Health Academy typed in. And under that comes up sponsored, the Dental Assistant School AZ, which is the institution here that we're questioning. And then directly under that, Desert Dental and Health Academy, schedule a tour today online. I don't know if that's a clickable link, the blue text there.
These are screenshots and JPEGs, so no, they are not, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, I realize.
But on the real side, it would be. Yeah.
I don't know if it would be versus having to click the above link of Dental Assistant School AZ. So I'm just not sure if the one that says Desert Dental and Health Academy schedule a tour today is a clickable link or not. So that may be a question for a different time that we'll have to answer. But again, I think we can all, when we look at that example, very small text of the link to click being that of the school, and the very big language matching the actual school name in the search bar that ultimately came up in this way. And that's I think, everybody's pause and concern. I can obviously tell the school itself does not feel good about that. It seems as though you've taken actions to rectify the matter when it was brought to your attention via a Better Business Bureau complaint and the State Board staff bringing it to your attention, not finding it on your own. But that is where we stand right now in trying to get that clarity of how the school, and this gets to the crux of what we have the oversight of, how the school is marketing and advertising to a consumer in a factual and accurate way. And when you look at this, albeit may not be the result of the school's actions, certainly maybe the majority of us can agree a consumer out in the market could be confused that the link directly above the Desert Dental and Health Academy, in this particular example, that a student was specifically looking for in the search bar, when they click the link, they go to the competitive school. And that is an issue for a consumer that could create pause. I also understand there's other implications associated with that, but that is what we're most sensitive about, and making sure that the school is accurately representing itself in the marketplace. And we're still unclear at this point on, even from what Google provided in a response, that although there is auto generation that takes place, again, their words, they don't add new words to it. They merely use the existing keywords provided, at least that's my interpretation, from the school. And so I think your position is we have nothing to do with how those advertisements under our paid advertisement appear to the consumer because we don't control Google in that particular case. I'm just reframing the where we stand.
Mr. Romano, here's another one that it was just the second one down, and I know I'd spoken with Mr. Hastings on this, where it kind of has more information on ADA mixed in with Desert Dental and Health Academy.
Mr. Blanchard, can you reference that? I'm not sure which one you're referencing.
So this is Mr. LaMountain clicked on. This is screenshot number two. You're on number one, and this one just has like more information in reference to phone numbers and identifies the different institutions. And it just might be clear. I know I talked with Mr. Hastings on this one just because it was, and it's all in the report, but this was the one that was kind of, and again, I'm uneducated in this type of industry anyway, but when you look at this one specifically, it has a picture of Dr. Hastings. It has AIDA online within this Desert Dental and Health Academy. And then the phone number is not Desert Dental and Health Academy. So this was just kind of the one that popped in my mind when I was reviewing these and when I reviewed them with Mr. Hastings. And
thank you. Can you keep this up for just a moment? Mr. Hastings, is that your school's phone number under the 8770 on the screen?
I would have to check the phone numbers that are on the ads. Those are recorded phone numbers. That is not our main number, but those are recorded phone numbers. So we can, you know, check as far as the calls that are coming through. I would have to double check as far as if that 8770 is attached to our account.
Okay. All right. And then if I could, because the person who lodged the complaint is on the phone and I think associated with, in this case, Desert Dental and Health Academy. Ms. Ortega, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am still here.
Okay. And Ms. Ortega, just to confirm, you are from Desert Dental and Health Academy. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And recognizing you brought this forward, if you could keep that up, Mr. LaMountain. Sorry. Ms. Ortega, could you just help me understand the copy underneath Desert Dental and Health Academy classes are starting soon? Is that your copy?
No, that is not my copy. That is the paid sponsored ads copy.
Okay. And Ms. Rome, you're raising your hand.
Yeah, just real quick, going back to the phone number, I just quickly called it and it does go to the American, I'm going to screw the name up here, American Institute of Dental Assisting. They actually answered the phone with that name.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. That's helpful. And I can see by the fine gentleman sitting next to you, Mr. Hastings, that is the individual who is on the image of this ad. Is that correct?
That is correct. But I would like to please clarify the date of this ad that is showing, just so I can make sure that everyone in the meeting knows that this is not an active live display or ad.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know if that's plausible here. It's an exhibit that we have. So we understand you may have taken action since this time. This is not a live representation, to your point, but one of the snapshots that we provided. So again, just coming back, Mr. Rain, to I think where you started, which was this really doesn't fall under the oversight of the board or the committee. The concern is, again, a consumer typing in the exact name of a competitive school, and then this being represented with the most prominent words being the name of the institution that they were searching, Desert Dental and Health Academy in this particular case, but everything else linking to that of the this school. Of Mr. Hastings, right? That is a consumer. We could all appreciate how a consumer would probably be confused thinking they were reaching out to Desert Dental and Health Academy that says, oh, by the way, that classes are starting soon. And that is not even the school's copy. And I think the argument that you and Mr. Hastings are saying is the only thing we did was buy a sponsored ad with our URL of dentalassistantschoolaz.com. And everything else, and outside of the phone number that's provided, everything else Google generated on their own, and we did not have any oversight of that. That is how I'm taking what you have responded to today as. Is that correct?
Mr. Romano, no, I don't think that is accurate.
Okay.
I think it's been explained, and I understand there's some confusion, but what has happened is when someone searches, as you see on the top of this image, Desert Dental Assisting, the tool that Google had takes that search term and incorporates it into the sponsored ad. Everything else is just AIDA content. Google has taken that term, inserted it into the copy of this ad. That's why everything else is AIDA. It's just that top level auto-generated language. And of course, if a student was to be searching for Desert Dental back, and there is a date on this image, it's back from May of this year, around when these complaints came into the Better Business Bureau, they would click this link and they'd find themselves on AIDA's webpage, which is clearly branded AIDA. And, you know, they would have to go much further down the road to have any confusion actually have an impact. But, you know, we definitely recognize the problem. But the problem as well is the only way they could have identified this on their own was to go and search a competitor's name and see, oh my goodness, when I search their name, our Google ads are putting it into our field. So they weren't aware. No one contacted them, to my knowledge, to make them aware. A complaint was made. They immediately reached out. That's the timeline that you see in the contact with Brozinski to say, hey, these competitors' names are showing up on our ads. We need to stop that. It's not a good thing. And that has since gone away because the function has been removed. So they did not really have, I think, a reasonable capability of seeing that this was happening. You know, there's nothing untruthful or false about their advertising that they generate. If you go to their webpage or their marketing material, there's no complaint that says anything's inaccurate about their personnel, their faculty, their curriculum, the facilities, or that they've made any false statements about anyone else's school. This is a function, an unexpected function of hiring Google for search engine optimization. And again, I would also make an argument that even if they were to have, which they've clearly stated repeatedly, we did not provide our competitors' names as keywords. But even if you did, that wouldn't be the problem. The problem is the auto insertion function of Google put the competitor's name in the actual ad that consumers would see. Totally recognize the potential for confusion. We don't have any, you know, massive complaints. And then there would also be a natural mitigation because anyone clicking this link would see a clearly branded AIDA website. So we understood, they understood the issues back when the complaint was brought to their attention and they immediately fixed it. None of this is occurring since that time. It won't occur again. So I think there's a big distinction between, you know, the type of advertising that your rules and statutes contemplate. They literally discuss personnel, faculty, courses, and diploma, and this unexpected result of using Google advertising, which, you know, it's not a four-letter word. It's something that the competitors likely do, or some of course do. It's purely this auto insertion of search terms into the ads, which was an unexpected consequence and immediately cured.
Thank you, Mr. Wren. I appreciate that. Mr. Hastings, can you just clarify for the record, did you purchase sponsored advertising through Google?
Did we purchase sponsored advertising through Google? Yes, we do.
Okay. And you understand your obligation in regards to when you purchase services through a third party for advertising, you are still responsible for what that third party generates in the way of advertising. that is your responsibility as an institution. So you've relinquished that, it sounds like, to the AI process of Google, where you did not have mechanisms to review that at an appropriate level to prevent confusion in the marketplace.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, and Mr. Romano, I would just say, I think that that's also going a little far. They didn't relinquish control. They did not understand, nor did Google have an intention here. It's automatically generated. And they did have control. They took control and fixed it with Google promptly upon being notified. But again, because the only way to have identified this was someone bringing it to their attention privately, which I don't understand to have ever happened, they would have to have randomly searched competitors' names and seen that, oh God, when we do that, it shows up in our ad. So I just think it's a bit of a jump to assume they could have seen this or understood this was a possibility. But I think the more critical part when you're in the regulatory world is, what did you do to fix it? And they acted promptly to fix it, and there's been no concern ever since. And what we also know is no student has ever been harmed by this and can't now because it's been corrected.
Yeah, I don't know that to be the case, but I appreciate your opinion on that matter. I will say, again, what is clear is that the school has purchased advertising that they have recognized that they are unable to review the advertising and marketing that is put out in front of consumers prior to it being put out in a way that may misrepresent the school. That is very clear from that standpoint. They have clearly stated, we purchased something. It wasn't us. It was Google that auto-generated. We had no procedures in place to review what was being put out there in the marketplace from that standpoint. So Google had free rein to generate as they felt with no review from the school in regards to how that material was being represented. And that's the one position. Now, for us school operators who have used Google in those capacities, we're also very well aware of the other side of the spectrum, which is you can very clearly direct Google on how you would like certain things represented in the marketplace and when certain keywords are put in of competitors' names that you pop up first, or your sponsored ad comes up in a way that could look like you are that school. That is plausible and possible for an institution to do that. I'm not saying that is what American Institute of Dental Assisting did, but the one side is, hey, Google generates it on their own and we had nothing to do with it and did not have oversight over it. The other side is we clearly told Google what the names of the other schools were, and if these schools were brought into the search, that we would be brought up first, and this is the copy that we would want to use. Again, not saying that is what American Institute of Dental Assisting did, but merely saying from our own knowledge of being operators as well, we know that is possible, and you can give that direction to Google. Whether the school did that or not, we're not a court of law from that standpoint. Again, our sensitivity is more so on, is it the school accurately representing itself to the consumer so a consumer can make a clear understanding of how they want to proceed forward? And the fact that, yes, this takes them to the website that is branded, in this case, American Institute of Dental Assisting. So as they progress, certainly those things seem to be buttoned down. However, one could argue, and I'm not here to argue it, but one could at least establish from if you were to have typed this in and you think you're clicking on going to Desert Dental and Health Academy, you're really going to Dental Assistant School AZ, and somehow the consumer is supposed to know and understand that there aren't differences in those titles and they only advance with that of the one school and not the school that they had originally intended. But again, not a court of law from that standpoint, not trying to say that's what happened, just trying to get clarity that in this case, where we stand to bring it to a bow, what I clearly understand from the school, American Institute of Dental Assisting, is that they did purchase advertising through Google. That advertising is done in such a way that the school is unable or did not review in the way that that material could be represented out into the marketplace, but they are still, at least from the committee here and the board itself, potentially misrepresenting. So for this reason, I would ask that this also be elevated to the main board for review and discussion and determination. And through that period of time, that we would be able to possibly discern what actions the school did take or did not take in regards to the advertisements that were placed. Mr. Blanchard.
Thank you, Mr. Romano. Is there anything that you would like the institution to submit, contracts, agreements, further explanation that would maybe make it easier at the board meeting to kind of decipher the information? And I don't know what's available from the institution side, but I know Mr. Lamont brought up contracts and things like that. And if that's something that you think would be imperative or important, then maybe we can ask for that information at this level.
I think anything that can represent what the school submitted in the way of their paid advertising and the requests that they provided would be beneficial to understand. I don't know if I'd go too much further than that. I think what the board will have to consider is the school not having a process or procedure, basically giving that over to a third party and not having a way to monitor that, that created confusion. If the board sees it as creating confusion in the marketplace, and I believe the statutes and rules do allow for that interpretation by the board based on the advertising and marketing the school puts forward. So anything the school can provide for clarity would be helpful, although I would say it sounds like there's either two pathways here. One is school paid for sponsored advertising, but didn't have a method of reviewing and controlling that obligation, which is their obligation. Or the other, and I'm not saying this is the case, the school did provide clear direction and prescriptive information around that, that ultimately resulted in potential consumer confusion. Those seem to be the two areas, unless the school has new information that they discern through that of Google that they can bring forward to the main board, but I do think it requires that. So that would be what I'd say. Dr. Leck, would you recommend anything additional from the school to potentially provide?
No, sir, I'm good.
Okay. I know I did make a motion. I'm just going to pause here because we were just on the first complaint and we'll see how the second complaint goes from that standpoint. But for the first complaint, Ms. Ortega, you were the one that provided that piece of it. Please understand, you know, this is not where we're asking for your opinion or your thoughts on matters. If there's something factual that we have overlooked or that is part of this complaint that you want to add, I would be open to you doing that at this time. But again, I want to restate, please do not go down the path of your opinion, your speculation, or anything of that nature. I would ask you to please just keep it to factual statements.
Okay, perfect. I do want to state that I had some confusion with students calling, asking about our Mesa location. So I do want to throw that out there that we did have some students. I also supplied Keith Blanchard with a student who actually brought it to my attention as well that our location in Mesa, and I had no idea what location in Mesa. So I did provide her number to Keith Blanchard as well as a witness. And she was kind of confused. She said when she was first trying to look for us, this was back like in May. And
I do want to, if I could possibly, I do have screenshots of our name being used from when I first personally saw it from May 5th all the way to July 24th.
I would ask, you're more than welcome, Ms. Ortega, to provide that to Mr. Blanchard or Mr. LaMountain, as this matter will most definitely get advanced to the board, and we can include that in the review. So I appreciate that perspective of it. I also understand, you know, this is, we can obviously feel the tension here. This is two schools, really three schools, that are ultimately in the same space, that are all trying to attract students who have an interest in wanting to pursue dental education. So we understand the mix that's associated from that standpoint, and we are just trying to get clarity around, in this case, what the American Institute of Dental Assisting did or did not do in regards to how their advertising or marketing was put out into the marketplace, with that understanding. So with that, Dr. Leck, I've made a motion to advance this to the main board for review, possibly in October. Do I have a second?
My second.
Mr. LaMountain, any further discussion? Mr. LaMountain?
Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye with a vote of two ayes, no nays. That motion passes.
Thank you. All right, we will move on to the second of the similar complaints.
Mr. Romano, if I may, this is Michael Rain again.
Yes.
These are nearly identical issues. I have no doubt that you will make the same recommendation to advance this to the board. For that reason, we would ask that you just make that motion.
I appreciate that. I do, based on, in this case, Altren, submitting the complaint, similar to what I did with the other institution, I want to give them the opportunity to provide any factual information before I make that motion. But yes, I will not drag you through the same line of questioning. So if you have nothing additional to add in regards to this one, we'll move on to, why don't we follow the procedure here. So this is the second complaint associated with the American Institute of Dental Assisting. Mr. Blanchard, do you have anything additional specific to this complaint that you would like to add in?
No, I'll just state that this is complaint number 2023-PPE-0004. Since it's being recorded, it'll kind of help separate them if somebody wants to listen to that.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And understanding that the school at this time is saying they've clarified where they're at, I will turn it over to Altren. It looks like there's a representative on from Altren. So is it Ms. Lingenfelter?
It would be Lingenfelter. And yes, Tiffany. Appreciate you guys meeting. I do have quite a bit of factual things that I'd like to add. I appreciate you guys allowing me the time to do that. Number one, I'd like to mention that this is illegal. I have submitted my complaint to the Phoenix Police or the Glendale Police, Attorney General Office, and the Federal Trade Commission. And it violates Google's advertising policies to use a competitor's name in your ad. So that's what happened. And it is legal to bid on your competitor's name. So if you typed in Altren in a Google search bar right now, the sponsored ads that would pop up would be Carrington or Arizona College of Dental Assist or School of Dental Assisting or whatever. But my name would not appear in their ad. So if you Googled Coke right now and Pepsi's ad popped up, you wouldn't see "Don't drink Pepsi, drink Coke." So it was intentional to put it in there. So I would either like the opportunity myself to allow Ms. Ortega or for you guys to have an expert come in for the next board meeting that can specifically explain to you how this dynamic keyword insertion works. And what happens is you put in four sentences and then Google mixes up those four sentences. So one of the sentences had to have been Altren Dental Assistant School, And then sometimes American Institute's name would appear in the ad, or sometimes it wouldn't. So AI doesn't just say, oh, hey, we're going to create an ad. AI uses sentences that you provide to them. And then this has affected me in multiple areas. I mean, I've been in business for 18 years. I don't know how many potential dental offices called American Institute thinking that it was me and provided job leads to my students. I don't know how many potential students I lost. I don't know how long this went on for. I caught it the whole month of March. That's when I submitted my complaint to both Keith, the board, you guys, Better Business Bureau, the feds, the Attorney General, et cetera. And Ms. Ortega just stated that her ads, she saw them run through July. So when they were notified by you and by the BBB in March, they didn't cease and desist. They removed my name and they moved on to American Institute, or excuse me, to Desert Dental and Health. And then what a plausible excuse would be, would say, oh, hey, Google did this dynamic keyword, but how come Arizona School of Dental Assisting didn't pop up? It's the state that we live in and what we provide. Why didn't Phoenix Dental Assisting School pop up? How was it All Train Medical and Dental Assisting Academy and Desert Dental and Health Academy? So, but I can guarantee you that when I go place my ads online, I don't put American Institute's name in there. That's why their name doesn't pop up in my ad. I don't put in any of my competitors' names in there. That's why it doesn't pop up. So the excuse that Google somehow generated this is false. And now you have an attorney backing them and stating that this is false information. And I believe that the board should use their full power, and you can subpoena all of that. You hire a marketing company, they provide you a report every month. This is what we advertise. This is how many clicks you got.
I appreciate that. And what I would ask is, as we work with the board and you work with the board bringing this complaint forward, and we'll elevate this one as well, that we look to clearly understand that. And if we have the opportunity to get clarity from Google so that they can review this and provide us with direction on what they may or may not be responsible for, we may be able to get that. It sounds like, and understandably, there seems to be other actions that may be taking place on a legal side of this. And we may find as well that the board holds on any action that they would take until any legal matters are concluded as a result of that. We'll see what ends up happening there. But I appreciate you attending today. I also appreciate Ms. Ortega and the School of American Institute of Dental Assisting participating as well today. So Dr. Leck, I will make the motion that similar to before, we advance this to the main board for consideration, hopefully in the October meeting.
I second.
Very good. Any further discussion between the two of us?
I really just hope that, you know, it's not shown that you guys actually, if you're telling us here that you guys did not do this on purpose, that no evidence comes up that you did, because that will be really bad.
Yeah, I think definitely my hope would be that would be clearly understood in this particular case. So, you know, we ask for transparency with the institutions that are licensed through us to ensure that the consumers are accurately receiving information from those institutions and not being misled on any level, recognizing that that is can be subjective in interpretation. So with that, Mr. Lamont, would you please take the call on that?
Mr. Romano.
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Your vote of 2 ayes, no nays, that motion passes.
Very good. Mr. Blanchard?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Do you want to, since there's two institutions and then the respondent is another school, do you want to combine these or do you want to keep them separate? I don't know what would be easier for the board or for AIDA to do one response. Obviously, it would cover both institutions. It's not really what the outcome is going to be based on what the board believes is would, if there is a violation, what that would be, and not specifically what each institution, the complainant, wants the board to do. So I didn't know if that would, if Mrs. Lingenfelter sends me additional information, as well as Ms. Ortega. You can keep it separate if you want. Maybe this is something that we talk to our Cincinnati AG to see what would be more, I don't know, it'd be easy. I don't want to say easier, that's a bad word, a little more concise or something. If the institution is not responding to two separate complaints when the allegations are the same.
Yeah, I would actually turn that over to the Assistant Attorney General for guidance on what has typically been done in these types of situations and if that makes sense or not, to combine or keep them separate. So that may be a matter you can review with the Assistant Attorney General prior to the board meeting. I don't think it requires a motion on our part to combine those.
Nope. Mr. Romano, we will be doing that. We will be reaching out to the Assistant Attorney General.
And Director, I would just, from AIDA's perspective, we would request consolidation. That does simplify and expedite discussion. So to the extent you're willing to do that, we would request it.
Good. Okay. Thank you. All right. We will move on in our agenda. So call to the public. Let me pull my script back up. It's been a while since I've looked at this. All right. Anyone wishing to make a public comment may come forward at this time. Please note that the presentations must be limited to 5 minutes. In addition, the committee may not discuss, consider, or take action at this meeting on any item not appearing on the agenda. So I just state that in regards to, for this call the public, that it's not related to agenda items and matters, but rather other matters that didn't fall on the agenda, and ultimately we will not discuss them at this and go from there. So I will do that call to the public now. And if you have an interest, please just raise your hand via virtually and we will call upon you.
Mr. Romano, I'm seeing no hands raised.
All right. Thank you very much. With this, and that it doesn't require a motion, at this point, we will adjourn the complaint committee on Thursday, December, or we're not quite to December yet, September 28th, 2023. Our next complaint committee meeting will be that on Thursday, December 7th, 2023. Thank you very much for your time. Board staff, we appreciate your time and preparation of the materials. Dr. Leck, have a good rest of your day, as well as the board staff. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.